everybody. Thank you for listening to the Cooligans in the first segment. Oh, we got to talk about Lamine Yamal absolutely slicing through Inter Milan. Like, they weren't even there, bro. That was incredible. And obviously, we got to talk about Arsenal versus PSG. We talk about the game. We talk about the dusty Tifo. We talk about a lot.
And we're also going to be joined by Everton midfielder Illiman Ndjai. We'll be chatting about the Premier League Summer Series. As an Everton fan, quite excited to talk to him. And we'll talk Inter Miami getting knocked out of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They are done, se acabó. So all this and more today on The Cooligans. Happy birthday to the Cooligans boys.
That's right, baby. It's our birthdays.
That's right. Yesterday was mine. Today is Alexis's. Mm,
if you listen to this, I am knee deep in cake right now.
All right. Like, you're about to burst out of one. Mm,
and then after that, we're going to go get birthday cake. You feel me? You feel me?
You get it. Bruh. happy birthday, Alexis.
Happy birthday to you,
look
man.
At this. Huh? Everybody is always, every year this happens, people will post happy birthday and stuff like that. And then the next day, it'll be like, oh, happy birthday, Alexis. And everybody forgets.
Oh, your birthdays are a day apart.
Well, your birthdays are a day apart. Hey, yeah. this is what it is.
It's one of the qualifications of being a Cooligan.
Okay, you need to have, concurrent birthdays.
I was like, I need April 30th or May 2nd. I need somebody.
I cannot work with anybody who doesn't have a birthday this close to mine. But yeah, it seems like it's something that seems to surprise people every year. But no, this is it. We're 1 year older. Cooligans is 1 year older.
If you could have anything in the world for your birthday, it would be what? And don't give me none of this world peace bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about like a consumer or something. You know what I mean?
What I want is
a capitalist gift.
Great question. All I want for my birthday this year is pre-tariff prices.
Okay.
Hey, well, that's why I've been dreaming
maybe
about.
Maybe you should have campaigned a little harder, my guy.
I didn't do.
I feel like you didn't do enough, bro.
Okay. I don't know. I mean,
Give me something. Well, give me something stupid, expensive, pointless, but you still want it.
I don't know. A new graphics card on my PC.
Wow. Wow. We don't have a button for nerd alert.
Okay.
But if we did, we would be smashing that button
now. The NVIDIA RTX 40 series is actually very high quality. They're very expensive. It's not something I need right now, but it's something, down the line.
Carter, are you listening to this? I said, well, you can have anything in the world for your birthday. Money don't matter. Expensive and stupid. My guy's going like, the GT40X graphic card is actually pretty significantly faster than the one I have on my computer at the moment.
I mean,
this is ridiculous.
You
could have said a villa in Spain. You could have said an island. And my guy went, new graphics card.
Bro, it's like almost five bands, dog. I don't know.
Almost five bands. You could have said an island, man.
Bro. You know, islands, it gets crazy.
Epstein ruined it for everybody.
Everybody's going to be, oh, he wants an island.
Wow, we know what's happening.
I wonder what for.
Yeah, he's touching young graphic cards with no gloves on on this island. Type this in, Carter. Ford Escort Cosworth. This car was everything to me growing up.
Okay.
There's a very famous rally race segment called Group B. Do you know anything about Group B?
No.
If you ever meet an Italian, say Gruppo B, they're going to go nuts. If they are above the age of 30, okay? They're going to go nuts. There was a series of races where there was smaller cars, so four cylinders to six, right? They forced the manufacturers to say, okay, if you want a rally race with these cars, they have to be cars that the consumer can purchase. It's called homologation, right? Mm. So they forced them. They said, you have to sell at least 2,500 of these cars to the general public. So every car manufacturer that wanted to win this race, and everybody wanted to win this race, started selling these like souped up rally cars, all wheel drive, stick like quick shifting, super turboed out to the general public. I want one so bad. Can you go to Bring a Trailer real quick? I just want you to see, this isn't a graphics card. Okay?
I mean, this is just,
go to Bring a Trailer.
This is just as nerdy.
No, it is not. Go to Bring a Trailer and then type in Escort Cosworth. I like how you just allow notifications on all these websites. I would never do this. There it is.
Ford Esker Cosworth. Okay.
If you scroll down, you'll see the last ones that have been sold. 75,000, 50,000, 150,000, 42 if you're in Canada, 40,000. And these are like twisted titty versions. You can see they're all souped up beyond what already came. 40,000. I wanted this car. Back in the day, like when we started Cooligans 10 years ago, you could have had one of these for like 7,000.
And you didn't buy it because?
Because I didn't have 7,000. We were comedians. I was making $4,000 a year. How am I going to tell my wife a year and a half salary so I can have a cool car while you're out being a nurse and I'm, I guess, doing open mics and doing shows on the weekends? And now look at this. All I want is this damn car.
I mean, it's just a car. You get whatever. Public transit.
Graphic okay, let's, car.
Vote Pete Buttigieg, bro.
Look how dope that yellow one was, man.
That was a stupid car, sure. Anyway.
I could be drifting around turns in Brooklyn.
Dude, how about, you know, very fast exports and rendering times of, you know, with the nice graphics card. All right. Oof. See, hey, I focus on the important things.
I got to be honest. I never thought I'd have to say this, but I'm really sorry that all the folks who listen to our show are super wet right now with all this graphic card conversation. Y'all going to have to clean your car seats.
At least I could do this.
A lot of snail trails being left on seats, bro.
This I'll become an international sex symbol. All right, everybody. Stay out of my DMs or my wife's gonna get upset,
bro. Get them DMs, bro.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. Yes, it is Cooligans birthday edition.
It's the birthday episode. It's your birthday.
And what a better birthday gift.
It's your birthday.
It is, yeah, both of our birthdays. What a better birthday gift to me specifically, by having one of the greatest guests we've had ever, midfielder. Or winger, you could say as well, for Everton Football Club. Illiman Ndiaye will be joining us in just a little bit.
Insane!
To talk, you know, Everton will
The club heard it was your birthday and they said, we can't let this pass without celebrating.
Exactly. So thank you, Everton.
How about Illiman Ndiaye?
So Illiman Ndiaye and Everton will be playing this summer in the Premier League Summer Series. So we're going to be talking about that. And
you got to go to one of the games. You got to go. Of course. Be there.
I mean, one or all three. I don't know.
Okay. Guy's spending that wild.
Okay. I'm going to take my Ford Escort R5 or whatever.
How dare you?
Anyway. Hot show today because not only going to be talking about Illiman Ndiaye, we have to start today with Champions League.
Okay, look, the Champions League semifinals are upon us, and oh my God, Lamine Yamal can slice through any defense he wants. He had an incredible game. The Barca-Inter game was absolutely incredible, and that's why it is our top topic, baby.
Lamine, look, and we can't. It feels uncomfortable to talk about a child this much. It's like
he's 17.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned after the Copa del Rey final, we talked about him and how impressive he was, and then this was a different scenario. So Barcelona hosting Inter Milan in the semifinal, and from the beginning, you wonder, hey, that Copa del Rey final was insane. Mm-hmm. Rudiger throwing ice at a referee, getting suspended 6 games.
And all
the
records. Thought this game wouldn't be as exciting?
No. It's just 120 minutes of just a frenetic, insane match.
So you think he's like expensed himself, right? He's exhausted. He's 17. This kid's got energy pouring out of his body.
Not just him, for the whole team. I didn't know. I'm just wondering. They played that game on Saturday,
right?
In the evening. Mm-hmm. 4 days later, you're playing. In the Champions League semifinal. How's this gonna go? And we saw how it affected them because they give up a goal 30 seconds into the game with Thuram scoring a goal. The fastest ever Champions League semifinal goal. Yeah. And so already Barcelona like, okay, we got smacked in the mouth very quickly.
That's what I say. Yeah, you got punched in the face. You realize, oh, it's game time.
Yeah, it's game time. Okay, we can't be we're still celebrating the other the Copa del Rey.
But then they showed right up. I mean, this was a back and forth. At one point, I said to you, this is a basketball game. Like they're going shot for shot, goal for goal at this point.
Sure,
it was absolutely incredible. And part of me, why I love this game is that you and I, we watched it from the studio. there were times where I would look away and then you go, oh, another goal. And then I'd be like, and then you would go like answer a text or blink. Sure.
I don't know.
And I'd be like, yo, go.
I don't know why your impression of me celebrating a goal is an orgasm. Yeah.
I'm, well, I've been meaning to talk to you about this, actually. Like, I think the goal was scored. I'm afraid to look, to be honest.
Was that
with you.
The equalizer?
Yeah. Why does it smell like Clorox in here? so, Carter yeah. doesn't get it. All right, we're gonna cut this out if you want. Cum smells like Clorox.
What?
You don't know this?
What are you?
It's an old joke. It smells like pennies. It smells like a like the room has been bleached.
I wouldn't know, bro. But you don't whatever. Know you do all right. Whatever on-field research you do is
I
all
feel
good.
Like you guys don't leave it around.
Anyway, yes, Lamine Yamal, specifically with him.
What a segue. Jesus Christ, Christian. You couldn't even bring up someone else. Yeah, so Robert Lewandowski's injured, by the way, so he didn't play. But Lamine Yamal.
Lamine, I thought after Barcelona were down two goals, and then he scores the first one for Barcelona, it was odd to see him be the one that like, hey, like essentially the captain of
it
the team.
It was odd?
No. It was odd because he's only 17 years old.
Right.
And for him to be the one like, hey, everybody, get on point, get sharp, like get ready for this game. And where the rest of the team was kind of following his lead. And right. again, the after that game, the you know, and we'll probably get to it more, but the conversations and the comparisons about Lionel Messi, I had seen.
They're not going to stop.
They're not going to stop. But then. I saw this on Morning Footy. Nico was talking to Guillaume Balague. I think this was before the game, because again the comparisons between them two and the amount. There was something about the amount of this was Lamine Yamal's 100th appearance for Barcelona at the same age. Messi, they were like Guillaume asked Nico like, how many caps do you think Messi had at this time for that Lamine has. And he was like, I think he was guessing like, he was like four, maybe like 40 or 50 or something, like significantly lower. And it was like, it might've not even been 20.
Do you have the tweet, Carter, with the comparison? Because the comparison at this age between him and Ronaldo and Lamine, or Messi, Ronaldo and Lamine, is incredible. Yeah. If you're looking at it, Lamine Yamal at 17 years old, 100 appearances. This was his 100th appearance.
Yeah.
22 goals and 33 assists. I think we could all say that's pretty incredible for a 17 year old, but some of the greats. Ronaldo and Messi, where were they at this same age? 9 appearances, 1 goal, 0 assists for Lionel Messi. Everyone knows who that guy is. And for Cristiano Ronaldo, 19 appearances, 5 goals and 4 assists. So absolutely blazing past.
This is,
but also, he is being asked to shoulder so much more responsibility at 17 years old than those two guys were.
Totally. Which is, like, you start, in this moment, it's like, yo, this is amazing. We've never seen anything like this. But then, at some point, we're going to have to ask, like, all right.
Was this too much?
It's a little too much. I mean, we saw R9's, injuries that changed who he was as a player. And he
ended his career.
Ended his career. And he just wasn't the same. I don't want anything like that to happen to Lamine Yamal.
See,
but
this is, you've become a dad in the last 2 years.
Yes,
so
yes.
The way you look at this is different. I'm like, yo, this is lit. This is crazy. Burn out if you want. There's probably somebody else around the corner. And you're like, what about this young boy?
Yeah. Being thoughtful and caring about their well-being. But no.
If this is Mateo in 15 years, let me be his agent.
I'm basically the way Lamine's dad is just like
partying with a Shay Ice on.
I had seen
listening to OG.
Lamine Yamal's dad said that during an interview, because the people put a microphone in front of his face all the time. But he was like, when Lamine was born, he told him that you're going to be the greatest footballer ever.
I truly believe that was that conversation.
Which I mean, I believe it 100% as well. I mean, he doesn't, even though he gets sort of lambasted sometimes in the media, like he seems like a very normal guy. He's fairly young.
He's like a modern dad. I think people are prepared for like someone who listens to hip hop and wants to swag out a little bit.
Listen to Kendrick and wearing a Yankee fitted, bro. That's what dads look like now.
One of us. One of us.
So, as opposed to the comparison of like Tyrese Halliburton's dad arguing with Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, look, this is something.
They all want like Eli Manning's dad, like, I know. Suit jacket everywhere he goes. And,
right.
You know?
Even in there. But
I'm not allowed to have cheese this week.
All the Manning kids and the grandkids behave like Archie Manning.
They're all the same. Dressed like junior congressmen. It's so weird. Swagless.
Also, but Eli's the owner of Gotham. So that's the swaggiest thing I think he's ever done. Anyway.
Also won a suit. Titles, so we're good.
So Lamine kind of just being in this position and again showing that leadership that on that team. I mean, he's the reason why they tied the game up.
There's two conversations about Lamine Yamal's leadership in this game, right? There's the vocal leadership of getting everyone else to step their game up mid game, which is impressive for any 17-year-old to do that. Even someone like a Wayne Rooney would only do the other one, which is perform at a level where you're like, all right, if y'all aren't ready for this game, watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the ball and I'm literally going to cut through everyone's defense and I'm going to all these incredible defenders and I'm just going to take a shot on goal and score. So you would see that from young players from time to time. You wouldn't see both. You wouldn't see someone look around to veterans, to people who've won things and say, hey, step your game. You 17. Most people don't have the gall to do that.
Yeah.
Lamine Yamal is very clearly positioning himself to be the conversation for the next best. He's Ballon d'Or. This guy's going to win 8, 9, 10 of them in a row if he can stay healthy and have a longer career.
Totally, yeah. There's a, he was asked, do you feel any pressure? And he was like, no, I left the pressure at home. Like, all right. Well, it's just like, how do you know how to say these things? There's
17-year-olds around the world right now are like, I have a math test, you know? And this kid's like, left the pressure at home, baby.
And he's arguably...
Pressure's scared of me. You know?
He's also, he does like TikTok dances and he's like a goofy teenager.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't allow any of that. That could easily, if he wasn't this good, it'd be like, oh, wow, why is Barca signing this kid that all he does is just dance on the internet?
Yeah, of course.
And he's just like, I'm a dance.
I'm immune to it.
And then I'm a dance on the pitch.
I'm a dance on y'all fools.
So, that part of it, I think,
you know, the argument about 100 men versus a gorilla, it might be one Lamine Yamal versus a gorilla. I think the gorilla would be like dizzy from the amount of, the gorilla gets nutmegged.
At 1v1, bro.
The gorilla gets nutmegged,
gorilla,
bro.
He's going to be touching the earth.
He's just going to be smacking his chest like, this kid's really pissing me off.
I think it has to be mentioned, like, I thought Inter were great, right? And they did, they got into this game very well. It wasn't...
Inzaghi showed you that he has the capability to really craft tactics against anybody.
Sure. And took advantage early of the fact that, like I said, Barca just played 120 minutes in this game. And, Jules Koundé, injured in the game. There's not any, for a Champions League game like that, there's not even an opportunity to rotate any players. You need your best players. You're trying to get to the Champions League final. But Jules Koundé injured, I think, a thigh injury, and he looked like he's going to be out 3 weeks. I just saw that reported. So that is the thing.
That's a massive loss for Barcelona for the style they want to play.
Yeah.
Massive loss.
So now,
can we talk about your prediction, though? You thought this would be easy against Inter.
Did I say easy?
You said easy multiple times.
Yeah. Well, look, I think Barca is still going to win. I think it says a lot that they gave up 3 goals and scored 3.
Still equalized.
Yeah. And they scored all 3, I believe, were like in run of play, no set pieces. Right. Like that. So that is still something that's going to be very difficult for Inter Milan to contend with. Now, can they...
Going back to San Siro.
Can they do this
to
again?
To give up 3 goals at home... Yeah, you equalized, but also, can I give a little hot take? Should have been 4-3 Inter Milan.
Should have. I mean, what? But, you know.
Henrik Mkhitaryan getting out because of a pinky toenail. I mean, his goal being...
That's why we have VAR for, to stop those toenails.
Can we show the line? Because this is... And this was the same thing when... was it Coventry City versus Manchester United last year in FA Cup?
Mm-hmm.
Where it was Haji Wright's toe...
Click on the photo, Carter. On the photo itself, yes, we can see it.
This is, if you're listening, there's the Barcelona defender's knee stops right where like the first knuckle of your big toe would be.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at Henrik Mkhitaryan, my point is simply, if this is the letter of the law, this is the letter of the law. This feels like the human eye wouldn't have caught this. What the sideline judge thought they saw when they raised the flag was not this. He wasn't like that toe was over the line. he assumed the time, or he or she, I can't remember, the timing was different in that person's mind, and they were like, oh, Henrik Mkhitaryan was much further ahead.
Yeah.
If they saw that in their brain, they probably wouldn't have raised the flag, because I don't think the human eye can capture that small of a space. And that, maybe I'm making a point for no reason, because if, like, if we're going to, and I've said this before, if we're going to have the technology, then it's got to be.
Yeah.
If this is the rules, then we got to stick with this. That's fine. I don't want to live in a world where this feels in line. Does it not?
It does. I mean, and live, it did feel in line.
At least Haji Wright was standing at a different angle and was like, he wasn't running. Like,
they raised their flag though, right? They called offside.
The flag was raised.
Ultimately the right call. And even if there wasn't VAR lines or anything, they were still right. So I'm like, and only
you don't know. The sideline judge didn't know.
No. Mkhitaryan's big toe. Yeah. But they didn't know, but they used their professional opinion, and in that moment,
my point is only a machine could tell you that this was offside.
We can have this conversation, and we've had it for years since VAR and was introduced in the lines.
If you're an Inter Milan fan, do you feel a little robbed, just a little bit?
No, because it's offside, and it was called offside on the field.
I don't know. This feels and I didn't feel this way about the Haji Wright one.
Okay.
But something about this just feels a little dirty. I don't know why. Not dirty in the sense of like corrupt. Just feels dirty, like icky. There's something, this doesn't feel, if we're going to have humans call the game, and I'm all for AI robots as refs. So if it was a bunch of AI that said you're offside, I'm like, what are you going to do? You're offside by a millimeter, you're offside by a millimeter. But who raised the flag didn't see this.
So you're bothered that the linesman raised the flag?
You were saved by this. Your decision was made correct simply because of a toenail.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
It would have been.
Yes, they got the call right. But you get what I'm saying? This isn't why the ref didn't see the toenail and go, oh, this is offside. They were saved. This could have been reversed.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Do you get
where
the point I'm trying to make?
I get the point of like, yeah, the feelings are out, but facts don't care about your feelings, all right, bro?
Yeah,
you're making me sound like Ben Shapiro, though.
Damn.
What is this?
I wish I had a Ben Shapiro reference, but I try to stay away from horrific content.
Anyway, no, this is, 3-3, you got to give credit to Inter Milan for smack him in the mouth early.
In fact, I think this game proves something. Another hot take. Inzaghi should become Real Madrid's coach next season. That's where they should go after, not Klopp.
Okay.
Because I think he showed you his tactics. He knows what to do against Barcelona, bro.
Okay.
With better players. As much as I love Henrik Mkhitaryan, is a name we haven't really mentioned since, he was at Arsenal last?
Yeah.
You know? Come on.
Okay. So, in the second leg, I still think Barcelona get it done.
I'm sticking with Inter Milan.
With more rested players, they'll have the opportunity to rotate players in La Liga, and I think they'll be more prepared and not give up goals like on set pieces and stuff like that. So yeah. We'll see how the second leg goes. But that easily the more exciting of the two semifinal games. Let's
talk about Arsenal PSG.
Let's talk Arsenal PSG.
You and I went to go see it, and something you guys will see very soon. We're going to talk about it, but it'll be dope.
At Fancy Free.
Yeah. You guys will see it. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. But you and I went, and the vibes were a little different for this game than this one, right? This one was exciting. Goals left and right. This one was a little bit more tense-filled. PSG scores right away. Ousmane Dembele having an incredible season. Luis Enrique finding ways to unlock this guy. Still, the allegations are still there about, him being a little inconsistent. But in this first shot, absolutely incredible. They punch Arsenal in the mouth, and Arsenal have no answers.
Yeah, I mean, the beginning of the game, again, controversy and it showed that the beginning of the game was something where it seemed like Arsenal... It's not even about necessarily being prepared, but like you have to get that first 1v1. They say this a lot, like get that first tackle in so you feel like you're a part of the game. And that was just a great moment to highlight. Like Kvaratskhelia, we all know he's just a fantastic dribbler. Just the body feints.
So much so that Arsenal says, all right, go double him.
Yeah.
Which would be great if you had a defensive midfielder, but you don't.
I mean, they did. Declan Rice is...
Yeah, but his job isn't to patrol the back line.
That's where
Partey would normally be. Partey's not asked to go forward unless there's an opportunity to go forward.
So that yellow card that Thomas Partey got...
You brought it up. You said it would be essential.
We mentioned it in the last show, but like that second yellow was so dumb. Oh, that yellow that he got that, forced him to yellow miss the next match, yellow card accumulation. That made it so he wouldn't be available. And then you just saw the goal, the Dembele goal was where Partey would probably be. Mm-hmm. But it's a combination of Kvaratskhelia and that 1v1 against Timber. It was like, all right, let's see what we got. Let's see. It's like Kvaratskhelia testing him out and being like, all right, let me see what this defender is going to, what this right back is going to give me today. And then Timber being like, all right, let me see how I'm going to, find.
It's all jabs. Everyone's throwing a jab.
Exactly. Let's see what the patterns are.
Yeah.
And Kvaratskhelia did a great, outside of the boot with his right foot, no look to Dembele, who was running up at the top of the box. And Declan Rice goes to double. And as soon as Kvaratskhelia feels the double team,
pass
the open player. But and
can we break this down though? Okay, so you have a winger that's getting doubled and he passes to the striker who's standing next to him at the top left side of the box, not where they're supposed to be, which was clearly Luis Enrique's tactic in attack, was to pull Dembele really far back, really out of position, and then force someone to commit. For someone, whether it's Kivior or Saliba, someone's got to leave the line to commit to this guy because there's no one else. He knew, all right, if Partey's gone, literally no one will be standing there. No one capable of handling Ousmane Dembele. And there were times where Ousmane Dembele would venture off and stand next to Vitinha. And there's no one in the Arsenal midfield that can handle that. So defensively, Luis Enrique figured out Arsenal, almost immediately figured out a weak spot, and that's where the game-winning goal comes from. Now let's do the reverse. Let's talk about Arsenal. Arsenal has a winger that gets doubled in Bukayo Saka all the time.
Yeah.
He has someone he could lay the ball off to standing at the top of the box next to him in Martin Odegaard. But what did Martin Odegaard have? Quite possibly one of the worst Champions League games or one of the worst games he's ever had. And on top of that, not someone who very often will put a shot on frame at the quality level that Ousmane Dembele will. He's someone who's looking to connect and facilitate. And with who? There was nobody up there.
You can't compare Odegaard to Dembele. Dembele is basically a winger.
No, but what you can do is simply say the tactics were shifted to affect Arsenal in a negative way. And Mikel Arteta did not do that. So after the game, when you and I were there, I was asked to do a quick interview on one of those post-game videos. And I simply said the fault lays 100% on Mikel Arteta's feet because he's the one who didn't shift the tactics to affect PSG the way PSG's tactics shifted to affect Arsenal. Because if the ball goes to Martin Odegaard, why is Mikel Merino quite possibly the only player left that's not injured and can play the striker position? Why is he a defensive midfielder in this game? Why wasn't Zinchenko given a chance there? Or why wasn't somebody else? Or why wasn't Miles Lewis-Skelly maybe shifted in? You're young, dude. You could play defensive midfielder and let Zinchenko handle the left wing, left back position, which probably not the best left back in the world.
Yeah.
But you get what I'm saying? Something different than having Mikel Merino stand back there when he's the only one that's qualified to be able to do something with his foot if the ball's passed to him that far up in the box. There was no one there that could qualify to do that job. As much as I love Leandro Trossard, that is not his best position. His best position when he's a forward.
Martinelli's on the left wing.
And that's the other thing I was going to say. There's no one on the left wing that's willing to release that pressure valve on Bukayo Saka because every time the ball goes to Martinelli's feet, he does something negative with it. He's afraid to run at a defender. He simply makes the easy pass, passing it back to a Declan Rice maybe or whoever's next to him. He never gets that. And the one chance he had, perfectly timed, not offside, gets in behind the defense, shows you what happens when someone with speed is willing to make that run after someone is willing, brave enough to make that pass. And what does he do? He basically hands the ball to Donnarumma.
Look, you're an Arsenal fan.
Can you tell? What I'm simply saying is Luis Enrique made the changes that were necessary. One of the most important changes, and I know people are saying Martin Odegaard should have been benched midway through this game. Get Martinelli out of there. If someone on the left could be just a little effective, then it would relieve some of the pressure on Bukayo Saka and thus relieve some of the pressure on Martin Odegaard. It's very clear that Luis Enrique said if we could suffocate Bukayo Saka from getting any passes or having any opportunity, then we're going to be better off. And for most of the game, that's exactly what was happening.
Yeah, and I would argue they did that to Martin Odegaard as well. There was just a lot of when Martin Odegaard had the ball, he couldn't really find any positive passes to make.
So then let me ask you a question. You're boxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you hurt your right hand. What do you do? You've got 3 rounds left. What do you do?
I'm hurt and I have 3 rounds left.
You hurt your right hand.
Oh.
You're a right-handed boxer. You hurt your right hand. You got 3 rounds left. What do? You swing with what?
Your left.
Okay. We have none on the left.
There is but look, the issue, we were looking at the bench for Arsenal before this game.
Yeah, but that's
who are these people?
We regents.
We don't even know.
I never heard of you, man.
Respectfully,
yeah.
The squad itself.
There was one player, though. I'm too old for this shit. Raheem Sterling.
Raheem Sterling, yeah. He's gonna. He's the guy we need.
Dude, there was no one else.
Yeah, there was. Look, and I wouldn't be that harsh on Martinelli.
You're the only one.
He had a great chance.
You're the only one.
Trossard had a great chance. Donnarumma.
It's the Champions League semifinals at home.
But
I'm sorry. You have to hold your feet to the fire if you make that terrible.
Fine.
The only chance you have after having a relatively mediocre game, you get one golden opportunity. You got to hold your feet to the fire.
It's fine. I think it's perfectly valid. That criticism. I do think I'm just giving credit to Donnarumma. I think Donnarumma made two fantastic saves.
I don't disagree.
On Trossard and Martinelli. That just happens once in a while. And if Arsenal get pumped 4 or 5 goals, I'd be like, yes. Again, all the criticism totally valid. They gave up one goal. They gave up one goal early. And
for momentum shifted.
For the rest of the game, after basically 15 minutes, they are on the front foot. They're creating chances. And yes, they could have been burned, if Doué and Barcola or Gonzalo Ramos. If they make those.
Gonzalo Ramos had a historic miss there. Yeah.
If they make those, obviously it's a much different storyline. But Arsenal are good enough to score. They did it in the league phase. They can do it. It's not impossible.
Set piece FC, bro.
But again,
and that's
my
team.
It is the injuries. I mean, we saw the picture of when they go to the crowd, and it's Kai Havertz and who was it? The other injured players,
Calafiori,
and Partey, yeah. And everybody. And it's like they've just missing so
$120 million worth of
players there, yeah. That would be very useful right now.
The other thing, as an Arsenal fan, I just want to bring up, and we can do this quickly, is the atmosphere was dead, and there was talk for days beforehand. Mikel Arteta was like, "Oh, if you got a ticket, bring your boots and your shin guards because we're gonna need you to be a part of this," and it was dead. And this happened the last time I was at PSG versus Arsenal, which, by the way, I said was 4-0. I think it was 2-0. I was a little lit. the PSG away fans are completely out.
Yeah, I mean, but that's how
PSG
they
do. Travel, sure.
Yeah.
But you've got 60,000. They got 10,000 or however many they are, 3,000. Yeah, yeah. And you can be a little bit louder than them. And credit to Ashburton Army, who for years have been trying to build up the Barra Brava or the ultra, sort of fandom, stadiums in England don't really have this. They have condescending chants. They don't really do drums and chanting for 90 minutes that PSG do absolutely wonderful. We've been at Parc des Princes. It's super impressive what those ultras do. That they want to bring that. So Ashburton Army and Arsenal have been at odds, right, over some of the chants and some of the stuff being said. So it's been dwindling the numbers of Ashburton Army and the effectiveness that they're trying to have right next to the away section.
Mm-hmm.
But things were going to be different. They got a TIFO approved, right? They have the lines to make a massive TIFO. You don't see this often in England. They want to bring that true ultra feeling. So the design 3, we have the designs here. If you're listening, you can look it up. But if you're watching, you can see them. They're not condescending. I mean, these don't seem aggressive or violent.
They look like a, you know, a soft sort of like AI art that we're sort of seeing lately. Like,
It's somewhat cartoonish. I mean, look at Saliba, right? This is, if you don't know what it is, the first two are Mikel Arteta playing chess. One of them says one by one they fall. The other one doesn't have any, and it says La Casa de Mikel on top. The second one, it's him playing chess, actually moving the piece, but no words are being said. There's players behind him, and there's also some of the V for Vendetta guys, which I think is the Ashburton army sort of.
What's the guy's name? What's the guy's name? I forgot the guy's name.
Wasn't it just V?
No. The mask. The guy. Guy Fawkes.
Guy Fawkes.
Yeah.
He sure does, dude. let's go.
Anyway,
never heard that name before. That was off the top. So the last one has a clock for the clock end in it.
Also, the theme is
chess.
No. The theme is from the Netflix show. From Spain. The thieves or whatever that they.
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't know that.
They're wearing the red. I forgot the name of the show. Casa de Papel.
Oh, so okay, Casa de Miguel makes sense. Then.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the other one just says Welcome to N5, which is the postal code there, and then it's just the players and Mikel Arteta looking, you know, authoritative. Yeah. There's nothing about this that seems odd. There's no political signage here or nothing. The team denied all three of these. And by the way, Ashburn Army did a GoFundMe to collect over £10,000 to be able to create this and lift this at the game and create the right atmosphere for a Champions League home game. And they said no
they
to all
these.
They just
denied it, yeah.
They denied all three. So the only thing that was lifted was a cannon. You know, the flag they wave when they score, which is a little bit embarrassing. I mean, you see, you know, Oscar has probably the most viral tweet, which is what in the FIFA career mode? This is embarrassing. And by the way, there's a lot of conversation about how dead the atmosphere was. And I'm not saying it's because of this TIFO, but a lot of these conversations need to be had because I understand Arsenal's point, which is they don't want to come across as too aggressive or disrespectful to the opponent. When I took the tour of the stadium many, many moons ago, they made a real point to say, like, in the press box where the owners of the clubs or the presidents of both clubs would meet, Arsene Wenger made a point to say, make sure you have flowers with the colors of the opposing team, even if it's their biggest rival in Tottenham. Get flowers that are white. Show welcome. They say so they want the atmosphere to be welcome and respectful. We're here to have a match where we're gentlemen. The fans clearly want something different. Something needs to be, a conversation needs to be had between Ashburn Army and Arsenal as a front office to say the atmosphere needs to change. It needs to become a little bit more lively at the stadium, especially for important European nights like this. The game deserves an Arsenal that has a more ravenous fan base. Now, I understand you don't want it to get out of hand. There's clearly some PTSD from how bad the fans used to be back in the Margaret Thatcher days and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm all for, you know, stifling that. What Ashburn Army was asked to do here, and I don't know what all the past problems they've had with the front office, but what they asked to do here was for the betterment of the game itself, for the viewer, the Arsenal fan, and the fans around the world like us, and people who wake up at dumb early in the morning in other parts of the world who go watch this game to see or hear absolutely nothing happening in the stands and to see this almost kills a little bit of the enthusiasm.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I can, you know, I've been to the Emirates and, you know, I'm only one time, but this is like a match day experience kind of, you know, venue administrator person that like figures out all these details.
I'm sure it's a conversation around a conference.
Yeah, I mean,
table.
I saw the criticism as well. I mean, I think the thing that hurt the most is giving up a goal 4 minutes in. That's gonna affect how
that's also
the vibes in the stadium.
But I think you get the conversation that's being had.
Yeah. It's just look, it's not Boca, it's not River Plate, it's not. Like the Argentinian sort of fan base is
there's
that,
nothing
that,
intimidating about this TIFO.
There is not, and this is just a
it should have been the word cannon, you know,
this like an off white of like, all right, we got something, but just put it up there. It looks good. Take a photo and go home or whatever.
But this is like when you're a kid and you have to wear the sweater your grandma.
This ain't the reason they lost this game.
I never said it's the reason they lost the game. But if we're gonna have a conversation about the atmosphere, Ashburn Army is trying.
Sure. I mean, like England itself could take a lot of pointers and direction from like how other countries do it and stuff like that. So
God forbid they hear that. No, look at Argentina, like you referenced. Look at Uruguay. Look at
it's
Ecuador.
Different. Yeah,
look at Colombia. Look at Morocco, bro. Some of these countries really know the fans.
Just, to me, it's like some of these clubs are just maybe it's because the clubs are just like brands now, and it's difficult to make everybody happy, so they do nothing.
Bro, Boca's a brand.
It is, but like banners. But that is the brand. Nobody's gonna go away from that. That's what it seems like to me. Anyway, that's a much longer discussion, which we'll have another day. Let's get to our conversation with Illiman Ndiaye of Everton. Incredibly dope of him to join us.
What birthday gift for you? This is my gift to you, bro.
Thank you. Thank you so
now
much.
Now go get me the Ford Escort Cosworth.
Get Martin Odegaard on the show. Yeah. You can yell at him. Yeah. All right. Here it is. Here's our conversation with the Everton midfielder, Illiman Ndiaye. Oh my goodness! It is an absolute honor. This is always a nice little treat when
for you. Even you've been grinning ear to ear this whole morning
because this year as an Everton fan and for Everton fans, going into the beginning of the year, you sort of every year the last few years you don't know what to expect. You don't know. We just know it's going to be an emotional roller coaster.
Right.
And the guests,
but you give all of your heart, your soul, and your faith.
That is what they always say. This club, it changes you. Uh-huh. Something about. And this man has brought me some level of peace and security that I didn't think I would be having. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So this is, obviously, it's always an emotional roller coaster being an Everton fan. And our next guest is just someone who has endeared himself to the fans, yeah. To all the supporters. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by the one and only Illiman Ndiaye. What's up, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for taking the time, man. I appreciate it. I know you just stepped off of the pitch of training. So I hope you can catch your breath. We're going to hopefully we don't make you laugh too much where you get too tired.
Right? Well, working your abs. So we're helping. You know what I mean?
Illiman, dude, thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is obviously as an Everton fan, it's always a really, really dope to get to do stuff like this. But you are you're easily becoming like a fan favorite. And I want to get to your background a little bit, but the one thing about you, as soon as you started playing for Everton, it's like, dude, this is one of the silkiest dribblers I've ever seen in my life.
Man's wavy, bro.
Okay, and it's something throughout. When you think of Everton, sometimes it's like a blue collar kind of tough, get stuck in kind of stuff, and then you bring this swag to the team, and I'm like, all right, I'm enjoying this, and there's a little bit of like. When you bring that kind of class and quality and even style, what's the balance of, all right, I know what the club needs and I know we're always kind of worried about relegation and all this other stuff, but still being like, I got to be myself and I got to do what I got to do. So how do you balance both of those things when you join a club like Everton?
I think for me, it's easy to balance. Obviously, first of all, I like to work hard, but then I put my ability, for the team. Like, they got me for what I can do, dribbling and helping the team win games, like scoring goals and assists, But, obviously knowing that I'd come here, knowing the style of play of the team, I knew that I'd have to work hard. So I do that, naturally. And then obviously the dribbling things, it just comes naturally too, because I've been doing that since I was young. So.
Yeah, and we've read up a little bit. I mean, obviously, Christian already knew this, but I read up and found out your father was a choreographer, a dancer, and that teaching you how to dance early on, you kind of use those moves on the pitch. Now, here's the thing. Christian and I are both Latin Americans, okay? I'm Cuban American. He's Dominican American. I learned to dance when I was young. How come I don't play like you, bro? What happened to you? What dance did you learn that made you that good on a pitch? I got none of that.
I got merengue in me.
I've been doing salsa out there all day.
I don't dribble
happening.
Like that, though.
I'm two-stepping, and all these balls are going past me, bro. What dance did you learn, or what was it that you think you were able to translate to the pitch?
So it's everything that had to do with body movement, like body feints. Obviously, I'll be doing it with a football. And my dad would do it with his body, because he used to be a dancer, and I would just recreate it with a football. So for example, if, I don't know, like, trying to go to the left side, I'll do, like, a body feint that side, and then so I can go that side, That's everything to, like, send the player the other way.
Right.
But, like, just my dad just done it to me, like, since I was young, and it just got easier for me to, like, start doing body feints, It's more like body feints than dancing, but because... Right, right. My dad used to Because my dad used to recreate a lot of things with the dancing, and I just try to replicate with ball, you know.
It's smart, the really body control.
It's probably hilarious when Ilman is actually dancing with the woman, and right. and she's just flying the other direction. Right. She's like, oh, I didn't know you were.
He faking her out, bro. Oh, you thought I was going left, Saeed?
You got to keep up with me.
Yo, Ilman was at the club, bro. Homie did a bicycle kick. It was crazy.
But you had done a, you were telling your story. It came out and on the Everton YouTube channel. I was watching it recently. And there's all this footage of you as a child. I mean, you're dribbling, you're like freestyle, like you were doing this at an incredibly young age. And it's something where, you know, you were talking about your father and, you know, being so grateful for the time, the commitment and all the lessons. And there's, I'm watching it. And this part of me, you know, I didn't have a dad that involved. And I'm watching this and I'm like, you got an African dad that is there. He seems like he loves you and showing you all this care.
He's even filming you.
He's filming you. I'm like, this is already like, he's like a unicorn, bro. This is nobody gets this kind of dad. You won the lottery, don't you think?
Of course, 100%. And especially because I grew up with around a big family. I have 7 sisters. And obviously, it wasn't easy to obviously deal with everyone, and you know. But yeah, my dad had time for all of us. Obviously, I was with him 24/7, like training. He'll bring me to school, he'll bring me to football, he'll bring me to every. When I was young, he didn't miss one of my football games. Like, he came to all of them. You know, with his camera and filming everything, like I've seen on YouTube, you know. Mm-hmm. Now he's been amazing. He's been the reason why I'm here today, you know. So
beautiful.
That's so beautiful. Wait a minute, isn't there a famous street in London called Seven Sisters, right? In North London?
Yeah.
Damn, you must get PTSD when you say it. You're like, yo, I gotta buy a bunch of birthday gifts.
Seven Sisters.
That's crazy.
The bullying must have been crazy.
No, it was fine because I went to school somewhere else.
Okay.
You got to miss out. That's a lot of birthday tips. I forget my anniversary. I don't know how you remember 7 birthdays. That's great. I hope some of them are twins and you can double up. But I think one of the things that astounded me about you is you grew up a little bit in France, just outside of Paris, north of Paris. And I'm going to mispronounce it, but Rouen?
Rouen, yeah.
Rouen, okay. Yeah. And then you moved to London, or you moved to England. Was there a culture shock for you, or were you maybe like, football is kind of a universal language. We say this with comedy and football. Like, we can talk to anyone in the world, even if we don't talk the same language, because everyone in the world laughs and everyone except Americans play soccer, play football. So for us, it's pretty easy to communicate with people. Did that help that sort of move for you?
Yeah, it helped a lot. Obviously, I came and I didn't speak a word of English. But then, obviously, I got into... So as I came to England, I went to a lot of, like, football camps and things like this, you know. And it was quite easy, you know, because everyone was just like, we're just playing football and we're just talking, you know, making friends. You know, I was young as well, so it wasn't that hard to learn or, you know, a new culture. You know, I was just going on about my business, you know. And then obviously I went to school as well, and that's how I made my friends, via football. You know, my first day at school, I had PE, like sports, and I was just playing football, and then that's how I made my friends, you know. They just saw how good I was, and then that's how it went on. So yeah, it was kind of easy to get introduced to, you know, in England.
Yeah, I'd be your friend too. I'd be like, you see, he's on my team. He's on my team.
Yeah,
I pick him.
It's a superpower to like make friends. So we're obviously joking around about Americans and their interest in the sport, but it is growing a lot. And,
huge.
And you know, Everton are making their way again to United States. And every time I love when Everton play in the U.S. because we get to, it feels like a little bit of a pilgrimage. Like, everybody gets together. All the American Everton fans meet in one location. Have you played in the U.S. before or anything like that? Like, is this your first time?
Yeah, that'll be my first time, yeah.
All right, dude. I'm gonna be at definitely either one or all of these games.
Yeah, so I have a feeling all of them. Yeah.
So I'll make sure to say hello. Hopefully, you get like a photo or something. But this is so July 26th at MetLife, which is the stadium close to us, is the first game against Bournemouth. But what are you most like looking forward to when it comes to playing in the US?
I'm excited about the stadiums. You know, I've seen a lot of the stadium, and they looked really good. You know. Obviously, the weather. The weather, helps, yeah. I'm sure it will be great. And obviously, the fans, you know. It's nice to see fans from other countries supporting your club, you know. So it'll be good to meet with them too.
Yeah, this is a big opportunity, especially for a club like Everton, which, you know, I think a lot of clubs, especially that are doing really well, are in the Premier League. This is a big opportunity to gain a lot of fans. And for someone like me, who's not an Everton fan, I'm an Arsenal supporter. But when I watch Everton games, because I know we're going to talk about it on the show, you stick out immediately. Immediately, I'm like, yo, that's the type of guy I want to watch play football. So you're going to be bringing a ton of fans over to Everton side. Talk to some of those American fans right now that maybe don't have a Premier League team that listen to this show, and why should they pick Everton in particular? What is it about you and the club that you have around you? And I know you guys have sort of been up and down, but you guys are doing really well right now. What is it about Everton that should make an American fan that doesn't have a Premier League team pick Everton?
I haven't been in a long time, but as soon as I came in, the love I've got from the fans and everyone is unbelievable. You know, like they made me fall in love with the club. Quickly, you know, the way they support their team, that is like, it's the only team in the world that exists, you know. The way they support their team is unbelievable. Obviously, the history of the club, you know, I think it's just one of the best clubs in the Premier League, you know. And the time right now is not, we haven't had the best season, but it's growing. And we're seeing it against big teams, the way we're playing at the moment, you know. We're getting some good results, you know, against Arsenal, Nottingham Forest, you know. Obviously, some not so good, but I feel like the club is going to reach new levels, you know, and hopefully starting to win trophies in the near future.
And okay. Yeah, and look,
it's a magic word.
I'll just add to that. It's the greatest goddamn club in the Premier League. Bro.
You know what? You put a little bit of sauce on what he just said.
I mean, there's something about you know, when I was like picking a team, and it's always like sometimes it's like cringe. We always get this from England fans in England that are like, oh, you know, how you sort of connected with this club. And there's always a lot of banter online. But when we went to Liverpool and went to Goodison Park, it was the opposite of what it sort of feels like on the internet. There were so many Everton fans that were either doing like, thank you for picking my club. Like, I was born here and I have to support them. So it's weird that you're from like a different place and you chose to do this to yourself, to put yourself through all this emotional anguish. But
they also were like, yo, come here, come hang out with us, come do this.
The love.
It was like you immediately get invited into a family. It's amazing. You didn't pick Everton, like you said, hey, I'm going to be an Everton fan, and Everton fans adopted you.
Exactly. It's that part of it. I might be the first Dominican Everton fan.
Shouts to you, dude.
I want to talk about a couple things. Unfortunately, you had a bit of an injury during the season, which slowed the rise that we all saw happening. But you had some incredible moments. You scored I believe the goal was against Tottenham, right? The one that you dribbled through a couple folks, right?
Scoring against Tottenham for an Arsenal fan. Thank you.
And our producer, who's also on the line, is a Tottenham supporter, so I'm sure he's going to love this. But that was just one of the most fun moments this season, because again, when I was mentioning that confidence and that swag, and it's something I sort of see it from you. I see it from Dwight McNeil as well. As far as like, just there's something about him too, where the dribbling is just like wavy. You don't know which way he's gonna go, and I'm sure you guys have a lot of fun, sort of maybe in training and stuff like that. But that moment and that goal to be able to do stuff like that and get fans at Goodison Park excited. What are those moments like for you?
These moments are amazing, you know. Well, first of all, these goals are like my signature moves. You know, I like to, my favorite goals, you know, they're like, get the ball from the middle and then just drive, dribble one, two players, and then score the goal. You know, that's kind of my signature goal. But I'm kind of an entertainer, you know. I like to get the fans off the seat. I like them when they just, you know, I dribble and then just go, it makes me go again and again and again. Obviously, you need some end product. Like, you need to finish with something good after that. But these moments are good. You know, for me, because of the type of player I am, it creates that chemistry with the fans as well. And it's good to have the fans, you know, behind you, supporting you, and just telling you to keep going.
Yeah.
You could see why he's a fan favorite.
Yeah. The other thing is when I was watching the video about your background, there's so many clips of you as like a 8-9-year-old doing the same things you're doing now, dribbling through. There was one moment where there was literally like 7 green shirts around you and you're dribbling through all these kids. And so there's a little bit, sometimes, you know, you scroll through Instagram and TikTok and you see kids like dribbling and people are always like, oh, this is going to be the next big thing or whatever. Yeah. But the comments are sometimes like, yo, does this kid pass? Does this kid pass the ball? Then I'm watching. So I'm wondering, like, as a child, how much was that supported? Or how much was that like trying? I'm sure there were coaches.
Well, didn't the media call you like the next Zinedine Zidane in France?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah,
no pressure, bro. No,
yeah, that was a newspaper. It was a show, and then they said the next. I think it was Zidane. Yeah, and things like that. Yeah, it was good though.
Yeah, well, go for it.
No, obviously I do pass. I do pass the ball. When you're young, you just play. You know, it's free. You're free play. You know, sometimes you pass. Sometimes you know it's. It's not too serious, you know. Like you just want to have fun and things like that. I mean, for me, I was kind of preparing for the future, you know. At that age, I kind of knew where I'd want to be in the future. So all these dribbling things, videos and things like that, where like I've been like day and night, I'm just practicing these things, and then I just want to redo it on the pitch, you know. That's just how I am. Yeah, some coach would get angry. Some coach would shout at me, pass the ball. I'm like this.
Yeah. You're like, hey man, I need the highlight tape. Dad's filming, bro. I do want to ask. First of all, seeing you play, I get all of this, man. You're so calm, you're so chill, you're comfortable. You can see how comfortable you're on the ball. All of this makes sense now getting a chance to meet you, and I hope I get to meet you in person. But there's a player you play with on your team called Jack Harrison. Many years ago, he started in New York City, and we are big New York City FC fans.
Yeah.
So we wanted to honor him. And we named a sandwich after him. Now, I know that may not sound like anything, but in New York, that's one of the biggest honors. That's as close to getting knighted as a New Yorker gets. And I'm not making that up. It's a big deal to get a sandwich named after you. If there was an Njaye sandwich, what would that have in it?
Njaye sandwich? It'd probably be basic, you know. Just put something like chicken, a lot of cheese.
Okay, I'm in.
Fromage.
Okay.
Okay, I know.
Fromage American.
Yeah, just probably some salads, like not too much, a little bit, tomatoes. I say cheese, probably some onions, pickles, yeah, not too many, not too big the burger.
Just, no spice? Yeah.
No spice. I don't like spice.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I don't like spicy food.
Right. Interesting. We're learning so much.
I'm probably just like ketchup, mayonnaise, something like that.
Wow, okay.
It's basically chicken chopped cheese. That's what you just mean.
Okay.
Is that nice? Chicken chopped cheese. Is that nice?
There you go. Chicken chopped cheese. That's it.
You would imagine, you know, your style of play is fairly spicy.
That's
you would
why
think,
I said
you
it.
You would think, but hey, it is what it is.
Okay. Put it on the side.
The way I'm on the pitch is not the same now how I am outside.
I love it. On the pitch. So just a heads up to everybody. So July 26th is when the Premier League Summer Series starts. The first game is at MetLife. The next game is at Soldier Field on July 30th. And then August 3rd at Mercedes-Benz Field.
New York, Chicago, Atlanta. Those are three great cities.
We've been
man.
To all three stadiums. They're gigantic stadiums. And they're really, really cool. Iconic places as well. When it comes to stadiums, have you gotten a tour of the new stadium at Bramley Moore Dock? The future of what Everton Football Club is going to look like is really, really exciting. It's an exciting time right now. How excited are you to be playing in that stadium next season?
Yeah, I'm so excited. Stadium looks unbelievable. Massive. Yeah, it looks great. I'm excited to get the season next year going, you know, in the Premier League. I feel like this club is just getting bigger, you know. We've got a new stadium. Obviously, we're just trying to finish up the season now and then just can focus on going to the stadium, you know. I'm just really excited.
All right.
So here's what we got to do. We got to go to the stadium when it opens to go watch Njai play. And we got to eat the Njai sandwich.
We're going to make an Njai sandwich.
<That's> we got to bring sandwich.
It's just dumping cheese all over our chicken. It's going to be crazy.
You act like I'm not already putting cheese on my chicken.
Ilhaman, dude, seriously, as an Everton fan and even, you know, just as Cooligans and just thank you so much for being on the show. It's a really, really cool experience and excited to obviously finish out the rest of the season and then also get to see you out in the States in the summer. So best of luck going forward, brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can't wait to see you too.
Ah, Ilhaman Njai, huh?
Njai, let's go. I mean, what a good guy.
First of all, he laughed at all our jokes. Already I'm thinking, this guy's a genius.
This guy gets it.
You know what I mean? He's not just smart on the pitch, but off the pitch he's getting it, you know?
Exactly. So, it's always a thing, you know, especially when we talk to Premier League players, I'm like, you know,
are you prepared?
But it's also, you know, they're heavily chaperoned.
There's always someone standing just off the shot. You know what I mean?
There's always making sure, hey, we don't want him to say the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. We don't want anything too controversial here. But I thought he handled it well, joking around and it's just a good. I was talking to some people in the Everton group chat. I was like, yeah, I spoke to Ilhaman in chat, and they were like, yeah, this is like. I'm like, yeah, I'm the cool guy today.
Yeah. All right? How's this American getting all this? Let's talk a little bit about Champions League Cup, Champions Cup, CONCACAF Champions Cup, because Inter Miami are out of it.
Booted.
Gone. Yo, you got dusted by Vancouver, who are having an incredible season. Yo, shouts to Sebastian Berhalter.
Sebastian Berhalter, just like his daddy, Dominic. Look, Inter Miami getting knocked out. They lost last year's Champions Cup. They lost to Tigres. Mm-hmm. And that was circumstantial. You know, Messi was injured and blah, blah, blah.
Now, Messi was here for this one.
Messi was available for both games. He played at BC Place. He played in Fort Lauderdale.
And it didn't matter because Vancouver won in both games, right? They won 1-0 the first one.
2-0 the first
one.
2-0
the first one. And then this one they won.
4-1.
4-1.
4-1. No, 3-1. 3-1. Because it was 5-1 aggregate.
That's crazy. But you had brought this up before about the roster that Miami has to deal with, how it's affected their ability to play these games.
Miami, I would say, they're a worse team this year than they were last year.
Can we just say, just off the rip, that sounds insane. The roster's not good enough. They got like four legendary names.
The legendary names are going to, we know what they're capable of and we know what they're going to do, but the rest
not
of the roster.
Not defending.
We know that. The rest of the team is what is going to essentially just be the culture of the team as well. Like, I mean, yeah, we understand the impact and influence that a player like Messi and Suarez and Alba and Busquets have, mm-hmm. but it's you even in the way they play now. Noah Allen, Yannick Bright, Falcón, Chelo Wellgang. Yeah. I forgot how to pronounce his name. But these are the guys that are doing the work. They're running around, and the job is
when the camera pans to the defending, that you don't see the big names.
When it comes to you look at the roster list and you look at the salaries and the guys that are making the least amount of money are doing the most running.
Yeah.
We know that's how
cardio up for these guys.
So they whenever they do a trial, they're like, "Hey, buddy, look, we're gonna put all the things on your chest.
You got 70. You're wearing 7 of them sports bras, bro.
Because we got to make sure that you can run for these guys." And they can do that. Yes, in the beginning of the season, they can do that. And yes, it's exciting. Emergency clearances and emergency defending. Love it. It's entertaining. Get your heart rate up. But Vancouver were just a team that were just better from top to bottom. Luis Suarez and Lionel Messi in both of these games, what the goal and assist contributions, one assist.
Yeah. It was, for me, looking at this, the names should be carrying the load, right?
Yeah.
Offensively. And they really weren't able to do it. Vancouver stifled them a little bit in that sense. And also, just on the attack, they are prolific. They are doing the simple things. Sebastian Berhalter had an incredible game. I believe he had 2 assists and a goal. I don't know if he got the credit for that second for that second assist, but they were very simply run the ball into the box a little bit on the wings in those half spaces and make a diagonal pass to somebody open. And there was always somebody open because Miami does very last gasp defending. And you brought up the point of Leo Campana not being on this team is a massive miss. And my point is the rules inhibit Miami from being as good as they can be because Miami has the funding, the names, everything associated with them to be able to go ahead and get even better players to put in those positions or keep players like Leo Campana who can do those things. The fact they had to get rid of them, again, this is MLS's own rules stopping the ability to have an even better team. And I understand the rules are there and the owners all agreed to it and parity, and I get all these things. But these are some of the moments where I look at it and say, you got to have an emergency meeting before the season and say, yo, some of these rules need to change. Because if a team is willing to poke their head above, there's no reason why an MLS team isn't winning champions, CONCACAF Champions Cup. And that's not to say Vancouver can't be that team. They could very easily beat Tigres or Cruz Azul, who are the other teams fighting for the other spot in the final. And maybe that happens. But if we go another season with that not happening, it's another opportunity where an MLS team loses out on another international competition or getting even more spotlights put on them. It raises the level of the league entirely to have one team that's willing to commit themselves to be even better. Bayern Munich being good in Champions League or winning Champions League helps Bundesliga. And you need a team that's willing to commit to go up. You're just not going to be able to find it by with all these cap machinations. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a valid conversation. I don't necessarily think it's the biggest factor here because they also played another MLS team that operates under the same exact rules. If they're playing a Liga MX team and they get blown out, I'm like, all right.
But
like,
simply, the argument is not necessarily this loss. The argument is you said the team was they should have never got rid of Leo Campana. How are they going to have the depth?
Well,
how are they going to have all these other things? You have to get rid of one of your highest value players that's not the big four.
Yes, yes.
So, and that's Leo Campana.
It's Campana. It's obviously because he's a good enough player to demand more money. So I understand that aspect. I also mentioned Julian Gressel.
Let me ask you, though, before you those two names, do you think Miami lose them if it doesn't or they – do you think Miami has the inability to pay them or do you think they got rid of them because what it would do to their cap?
They got rid of them to lower their salary cap.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
If that rule wasn't there or not there completely, if you just raise this level a little bit, or if you allow these teams to find a way or some create another rule that allows them, you wouldn't have lost those players.
Correct. But the decision to, yes, they get rid of the salary cap, but they bring in the players that they do bring in are, so this is the main issue, the profile of player, like Julian Gressel, not necessarily the fastest of players, but a player that's good in possession, good at building up play, sending in crosses.
Yeah, can play in the midfield, can play on the wing, can play in the defense.
A good piece to have. So all I'm saying is that the team was better last year. Mm-hmm. And yes, they made salary cap decisions and they brought in new players that I think don't fit the profile that help the big four that they have on their team. So like Segovia, the main issue I think that Inter Miami has is that the players are too similar. So a player like Segovia, who's really good on the ball, Redondo, really good on the ball, Allende, also really good. Like they have like three dribblers in the midfield.
Yeah.
They have players that kind of need the ball a little bit to be to impact the game little bit more. So that is not the type of they need a couple guys that are just like I know my role and boom I'm just gonna do what I got to do and send the ball to the players that I know can work their magic.
So you say they just need a couple dogs protecting that back line.
Yeah, so like we can have the salary cap conversation, but I just think the players that they brought in make the team worse. That's it. And look, they could have probably kept Julian Gressel and not gotten Segovia. You know what I mean? That's all.
Yeah.
So that's really all it is. I guess
part of my argument is I'm it gets a little tiring to argue these points because someone like a Julian Gressel doesn't need to be sold. Does he deserve the money he gets? Yes. he shouldn't be at fault for having spent this amount of time in the league
right.
and deserving to get paid more. That these guys put their bodies on the line for only so many years. You should be able to make as much money as you can. And if you're good enough to warrant that type of money, and if you have the stature to warrant that type of money, it shouldn't be a detriment to a team to keep a player of that ilk. And that's yes. exactly the point we're at now, where a team is like, you deserve to be here. You make our team better. You deserve the money you're getting. You should be paid more. We want to pay you more. We can afford to pay you more. The league won't let us.
Right, right.
That last one is ridiculous to me.
Sure.
And I'm not saying open all... I actually am saying get rid of the
yeah,
rid
yeah.
Of
you
cap,
want
completely.
No
league. No cap is stupid. Put a luxury tax.
Yeah, yeah.
And if a team can out there and go spend, you got to pay everybody else a little bit of money because you're spending so much like the Yankees used to. Luxury tax would solve all of this. At the end of the day, all of these things are because MLS is too scared to grow too fast. And we're at a point, Lionel Messi is not getting younger.
Yeah.
Go grow.
Sure. But you know what? But regardless, you know, I don't feel bad for Inter Miami for losing this game. Vancouver were fantastic.
No, Vancouver was the better team for over two matches.
Yeah.
Deserved to be in the final.
And they've been the best team in Major League Soccer this season.
Dude, shouts to Jesper Sorensen, man. Because we thought Sartini, after that, there would be a drop-off. It's only even gotten better.
No, it's gotten worse. And they're doing this without Ryan Gold. You know, he's unlocked. Yeah. Sebastian Berhalter too. He's looking like Pedri out there, bro.
Yo, it's incredible what he's doing.
It's pretty remarkable, like yeah. just the confidence that he's playing with. But
he's having a lights out season so far.
Sabi, Ali Ahmed, these guys are. I mean, you could see in some of the goals. I'm like the like body feints and cutting back in and making you know the Inter Miami fullback just like look lost.
Yeah, a little swaggy.
It's just like yo, all right, the Whitecaps. They really out here, bro.
Yeah, man.
So that part of it is just it's been impressive, and I would be at this point I would be surprised if Vancouver Whitecaps don't go on and win the whole thing,
bro. If you're Vancouver, hit us up, bro. I've never been to Vancouver. Have you been to Vancouver?
I've never been to Vancouver.
I would love to go see a match at BC.
It is my bucket list thing to do because I would like to go to Whistler to snowboard. So if anybody got discount on lift tickets.
You know, at the beginning of the show, if you guys listened to it, I asked you where you could have your birthday. You went graphic card. You could have said an all expense paid trip to Whistler, dude.
Okay. But I didn't because, you
well,
know.
Now let's put that out there. He wants to go there and I just want to go to a game. So let him snowboard. I'll go to the game. We got to go check it out. I mean, Vancouver is an incredible city.
Yeah. No. So congrats to them. To moving on to the final. And then obviously the game tonight between Cruz Azul and
Tigres.
So we'll find out who gets to the final. So
this will be a fun one, though. Vancouver's having a great season.
All right, let's wrap it up there. Thank you again, Illiman and Jai, for joining us of Everton. That was really dope. So the Premier League Summer Series is obviously coming up soon. So maybe we'll have a couple other people that are playing in that.
Maybe you'll see us in some other stuff involving some of the people associated with
that. We shall see. Anything can happen with the Cooligans when
you never know where we're gonna pop up
when it's their birthdays. Happy birthday, Alexis. Hope you enjoy your day. I enjoyed mine.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back on Monday with a new episode. We're going to be talking to some referees on Monday. Is that correct, Carter? Right? That's Monday?
Carter, our producer just threw his hands up to the how am I supposed to know? You're the one who's supposed to know.
I saw the email.
Every time you do this, it ends up not being that. So please stop doing
who
this.
Who cares? All right, but go check. We're gonna be
just stop doing this. You don't have to do this.
We're gonna be talking to some referees.
Maybe not. Allegedly.
On Monday.
Carter has no clue. Carter's right now tangled up in a bunch of wires. He has no clue what's happening. What is that? It's my goddamn birthday.
So be on the lookout for that. Make sure you hit the like button on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't yet. Tell a friend. Tell a family member. Tell 100 gorillas.
not 100, just one. And 100 guys.
One gorilla versus 100 Cooligans podcast.
Or one them in your mall.
We got to ask the right question, everybody. All right. So we'll see you on Monday, everybody. Take care. Peace.
Ooh, my wife just texted me. We're going to go shopping for graphics cards. Peace.